Checking on the Arts is made possible by the Orpheum Theater. You have heard us talking about this amazing exhibit at the Benjamin L. Hook Central Library, Striking Voices. It is up until the 29th, and there are still several events going on there. One of the people who really put this together is Emily Yellen, whom, of course, we all know from her books and other reportage over the years, and she's joined me today. Welcome. Thanks for coming in.
I'm glad to be here.
This has been something you've been working on this for like 3 years, and it actually the genesis of it goes back even farther than that. So for our friends who have not yet made it down to the library, which unfortunately includes me, tell us about this exhibit because it sounds amazing.
Yeah, you're right. This is a larger project called Striking Voices, and this is an exhibit of the photos we've taken and some excerpts from some of the video interviews.
Yeah.
What the project is we interviewed about 30, a little more than 30 sanitation strikers from 1968 and their wives and their children. We started in 2015 with Alvin Turner, who was one of the 1968 sanitation strikers, and his wife and his daughter. And from there, we have interviewed a number of families. And it was really important to not just interview the men, who have, of course, amazing stories, but to get their wives on video and to get their children, people who were 6 or 15 at that time, and that was such a formative time. And it was really kind of an honor. I mean, I can't think of another word. People say, oh, this is your project. It's not my project.
Yeah.
This is not my story, but it's an honor to be able to be the kind of conduit so that people can really understand who these people are in a larger context. And so the exhibit at the library, we're so, again, honored to be able to be there for March and April during all the MLK 50 commemorations, and to really have a place where you can go and it's just about the sanitation workers and their lives and their families and nothing else. And so I always say their story has always been a chapter in somebody else's story. Martin Luther King, the civil rights movement, the labor movement, Memphis history. And what we tried to do with Striking Voices is make those things chapters in their lives. So we actually start with where were you born? And when you go to the exhibit, the birthplace of all of the men is on there and their wives. And overwhelmingly, they were born in rural areas around Memphis, mostly Mississippi, and started as sharecroppers. And so Alvin Turner, who I mentioned, who unfortunately passed away in the fall, we start almost all of our videos with him saying that he started working in the field when he was 7 years old. And he said, my daddy handed me a cotton sack. And he said, now you're not out here to play, you're out here to work. And he worked his whole life, and he was not able to read because he wasn't able to go to school. But he built an amazing family. He built real estate investments and that sort of thing. And so when he died, he has two daughters with PhDs, and he was basically a philanthropist in the community. And that is not a pull yourself up by your bootstrap story. What that's a story of is 400 years of wasted talent.
Yeah.
You know, and in one generation, when the opportunity exists, look at what it produces. And that's really probably one of the main lessons I've learned from doing this project.
Now, this is actually part of a larger project, which is a web series that you're doing, which goes on an amazing website called theroot.com. And people may be able to see a sort of a larger version of that. But you had to sort of condense that to do this exhibit at the library, didn't you?
Yeah, well, actually, the video series, the web series on The Root, which is our national platform, that's actually a condensation of our interviews.
Oh,
the,
really?
The real centerpiece of this is hours and hours and hours of interviews with the men and their children. And we were really deliberate to do it on video, and we're doing it not just for now, we're doing it forever.
Sure.
And we want these to live on and be a part of the collection at the University of Memphis, which my parents did. So we'll get to that in a second. But yes, the Root is a national platform. It's a African-American news site, and we have been since since Martin Luther King Day, January 15th, we've been doing episodes. So it's an 11-part series, about six-minute episodes, and we've told the story of the strike, and we tried to make certain stories correspond with the day they happened 50 years ago. So on February 12th, which was the first day of the strike, we have a story about how the strike started.
Yeah.
And then on April 16th, which is coming up, we have a story about the end of the strike, because people forget, you know, Martin Luther King was killed. The strike went on for almost two more weeks.
Right.
And so what we said is, everybody has been doing MLK 50. We're Sanitation Strike 50. So on last week, on the day after, on April 5th, everybody who I knew who was involved in all the MLK 50 stuff was exhausted. But I thought to myself when I woke up that morning, imagine how you would have felt if you were a sanitation striker on April 5th, 1968, and you had to wake up and you didn't know what was going to happen, and the uncertainty, and you could lose your job. That was going on for 65 days, but that day in particular, and I got out of bed and said, we're going to keep going. And,
yeah.
And my crew, I have an amazing crew, all Memphis-based. Everybody who works on this project is based here in Memphis. We have film people, we have journalists, we have photographer. Very talented photographer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Darius Wallace, Darius B. Wallace.
No, Darius B. Williams.
Excuse me. Yeah.
There's a different Darius.
Yeah, that's a different guy. These are amazing portraits that he did.
Yes, and this is what you'll see at the library. You'll see Darius B. Williams is a Memphis-based photographer. He does portraits, and I saw his work long before this project. And the minute I thought, you know, we need to have a photographer who takes portraits of everybody we interview. We have them on video. And I knew it was Darius. There wasn't anybody else I even thought about.
Yeah.
And luckily he was agreeable. And he's been working on this with me for 3 years. And there's one other person, Richard Copley, who is also a photographer, but he's also a videographer. And Richard took some of the iconic photos of the sanitation strike back in 1968.
Wow.
And he was at the university when my father was there. So it's a real full circle.
And exactly.
One last thing, you know, Daryl, that when I come on here, you just wind me up and talk.
That's what we do.
That's what we do. But I just want to get it all in because I'm very excited about this.
Well, we want to mention that you have a very special event coming up on the 22nd.
Right.
Which people can go to there at the library, and it's at 7 p.m. And this now tell us what's going to be going on there.
Yes. So the exhibit at the library is there open for everybody now through the 29th. So whenever you're there, you can go. It's just to the left in the lobby. It's the gallery.
Yeah.
And
which they've just redone, by the
right.
way.
Right. And gorgeous. They did it for
yeah.
this exhibit,
yeah.
actually. And the idea is that you go in and you will see these beautiful portraits of all of the men and their families, and really humanizing the men and their families in a way that I don't think has been done so on such a big scale. And so that's the exhibit. And then we wanted to also, part of the exhibit, there are iPads there where you can hear excerpts from the interviews.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of a multimedia exhibit. And then on the 22nd, which is a Sunday night at 7 o'clock, Indie Memphis and the library and Striking Voices are putting on an event. We're going to show all of the 11 parts of this web series. It'll be done by then.
Yeah.
And we're going to show all 11 parts. We're going to kind of binge watch the web series, but each of them is only 6 minutes. So that's about an hour
yeah.
and 10 minutes.
That's not bad at all.
No. And then we're also going to have some of the sanitation workers, and we're going to have our crew there, and there'll be a discussion. So it should be a really interesting night and a great way to sort of summarize and encapsulate and finish off this whole commemoration of 50 years ago and really talk about the very people who really were the point of it all and were the center of it all, which are the 1968 sanitation strikers.
That's exciting. That's coming up on the 22nd. But for our listeners in North Mississippi, you've actually got an event tomorrow at 5 p.m. At the University of Mississippi, because this is a version of this has actually been on display down there, too.
Yes. We have a sort of traveling version of the exhibit. It's a little smaller, but it's nonetheless, it's the same photos and video excerpts. And that's at the Barnard Observatory
yeah.
on the University of Mississippi campus, and it's the Center for the Study of Southern Culture has invited Darius and me down there, and we're going to be there all day, and then at 5 o'clock there's a reception, at 5:30 there's a talk. So if you haven't gotten enough of me and you want to hear Darius's voice as well, you can come to the Barnard Observatory at 5:30 tomorrow.
Now, you mentioned this briefly when we went in, but this is sort of grows out of work that your parents did many years ago.
Yeah. I've been thinking about my parents so much during all of this. If I have a second, I'll tell you a quick story. You know, anecdotes are my thing. So my parents in 1968 had the foresight to realize that we were living through a moment in history,
sure.
An epic moment in history. And they were both journalists. My father, we moved here from New York. My father was the head of the film and television department at the university. He started it.
Yeah.
And my mother was an editor at Reader's Digest. And they recognized, we had been here about 4 years, and they recognized that this story was not being told fully. And my mother's vision was 100 years from now, 100 years from 1968, or I would add 50 years.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to know what happened in Memphis in 1968, if all they had were the newspaper articles, they weren't going to know. Now, the Tri-State Defender did do an amazing job, but in the mainstream media, as it's now called, it really wasn't being covered in a full way. So they set out and they organized a group called the Memphis Search for Meaning Committee. And it started in our living room on Park Avenue on April 11th, a couple of days after the assassination. And they organized, it was Joan Bifus, Bill Thomas, my parents, and a number of other students and professors and journalists. And ultimately, they produced a oral history of the sanitation strike. They interviewed 150 people on audio tape involved in the sanitation strike. So it's 400 hours of audio tape interviews.
Wow.
And then my father knew that the film, it was film then, that the TV stations were filming, was going to be thrown away. So he had them save all the film. So there's 25 hours of film. So when you see film of the sanitation strike, it's because of my parents.
Wow.
And I'm so proud of that. And I grew up with that. And actually, I was at that meeting on April 11th. I was only 6 years old. And my mother told me, I begged her to go to this meeting. And she said, no, you're 6 years old. It's a very serious meeting. You can't come. And I begged and begged and begged. And finally, apparently, she said yes. And she said, but you cannot say one word. And so I went, and she handed me a piece of paper, and she said, you can take notes. You'll be our secretary. So
oh
I went,
my.
And she told me that when she looked at my notes after the meeting was over, I was very good. I didn't say a word. She looked at my notes, and they said, we had a meeting. And that was it. And that was the beginning of my reporting career. So I said that years later, I was lucky enough to start reporting for the New York Times about Memphis and the South. And James Earl Ray was asking for a new trial at that time. This was in the mid-90s. And I was just back here. And he was, they started covering that. I covered every hearing. I covered all of that. But the first day they sent, the New York Times sent down a big, important reporter, B. Drummond Ayers. He had covered the civil rights movement in the 60s. And he takes me out to dinner and we're talking and I'm like barely 30. And he says to me, I said to him, yeah, I've been covering this since 68. And I told him that story. So yes, in a lot of ways, this story has been with me my whole life. But again, I always emphasize, this is not my story. I'm a white person from Memphis. I've have access to get this story out nationally.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to use my white privilege for good. And,
there you go.
And that I really am very passionate about the idea that the story, the center of this story, are the men and their wives telling their own stories. They are the authorities on their lives. We don't have a professor or a journalist analyzing it. We let them, and not let, we are honored to have them be able to tell their stories and give their perspective. And that's the part we always go back to. And then we also included the one person who was not a striker but was a leader of the strike was James Lawson. And we were able, he's been in town all week and people come to know what we know, which is he's an amazing man. And I've known him my whole life. His son and I were in first grade at campus school in 1968. So there it is.
All right, Striking Voices. It is now on view at the Benjamin L. Hook Central Library. Go down and see it, folks. It's very, very important work. There's a marvelous event coming up on the 22nd where you can see all of these films of these men who were there. That's at 7 p.m. at the main library. And if you'd like more information, of course, you can go to strikingvoices.com or call 415-2873. If you're in North Mississippi, you might want to go down tomorrow at 5 to the Bernard Observatory on University of Mississippi campus, and Emily will be there along with the photographer Darius B. Williams, who did such amazing work here. Oh, we should mention you're going to be at Bookstock on the 28th.
That's right. I'm one of the keynotes at Bookstock at the library on the 28th. I think everybody now sees that I can talk, I'm going to be talking.
If you'd like more information about this, you can also go to the main library website, which is memphislibrary.org. Again, strikingvoices.com. My guest today, Emily Yellen, has spent 3 years on this project, and it's amazing. Thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Daryl, always.
Checking on the Arts is made possible by contributing listeners and by the Orpheum Theater, presenting the inaugural Memphis production of Too Hot to Handle, the Jazz Gospel Messiah, April 21st and 22nd. This high-energy, feel-good reinvention of Handel's Messiah boasts soloists, a symphony orchestra, and a local choir. Details at orpheum-memphis.com.